Buy from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 10th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
U.S. futures point to a lower open after yesterday's gains.
Investors await word from the European Central Bank and its plan for the path ahead.
TikTok makes moves to potentially avoid a sale of its U.S. operations.
And a deal takes shape to rescue JCPenney from bankruptcy.
The blowback after revelations that President Trump intentionally downplayed the pandemic. Plus, indoor dining is set to resume in New York City. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees ended their losing streak. The Mets rally to win a second straight loss for the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are giving up some of yesterday's gains. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 7.5 points. Dow futures down 65. NASDAQ futures down 10. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. CAC in Paris is little change now. And the FTSE 100 down about 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.9%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.69%. Yield on the 2-year 0.14%. COMEX gold is up 0.1% or $2.1956.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1838 against the dollar, and the yen, 106.12. John.
And Karen, after yesterday's rebound in stocks, the question is whether we've seen the bottom of this sell-off. Volatility is fading a bit, but that might not tell the whole story. Julian Emanuel is Chief Equity and Derivatives Strategist at BTIG.
From our perspective, this is the kind of time where you need to look at your portfolio in a holistic sense. Likely you're overweight equities given the move. Likely you're overweight technology, growth, high flyers. This is the time to pare back some of that exposure, and we'd use further weakness to rotate into some of the areas that have been left behind.
Well, some of those areas left behind this year include financials, insurance, and healthcare.
Oil has staged a bit of a comeback with Brent crude back above $40 a barrel. Still, prices remain well off last week's levels. Mike McGlone covers commodities for Bloomberg Intelligence.
Crude oil started tilting down a little bit early last week. And the key thing as a commodity strategist, I really noticed the pattern recognition was just bad. It went up to above 40, it's trickling there, and it just could not go any higher every time the stock market went higher. So it was a really good divergent sign of weakness. Now, WTI, I think, should go to near 30. To stay above 40, it needs a higher stock market. It might not get that.
And checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate is down 1.5% or 58 cents at $37.46 a barrel. Brent is down 1.25% at $40.28.
Overnight in Asia, we saw stocks push slightly higher, but far short of gains in the U.S. session. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, John and Karen. Shares rose in Japan, Taiwan, South Korea and Australia, while Indonesian equities slumped the most since March after officials announced the capital, Jakarta, will bring back social distancing measures due to a spike in COVID-19 cases. In Hong Kong, there was a disappointing debut for Yum China's secondary listing, the stock falling around 4%. The CSI 300 on the mainland closed flat. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. And coming up today, we get a policy decision from the European Central Bank. The focus centers on how the bank may shift strategy in the face of the pandemic. Reinhard Kluse is chief Europe economist at UBS.
I think the overall outlook will remain cautious. The ECB is likely to point to the fact that the infections have increased, also that there remains a risk that unemployment over the next couple of months will go up as some of the furlough schemes will be cut back. So within the grand scheme of things, we're unlikely to see concrete monetary policy decisions. That might likely happen later in the year.
We'll also be on the lookout for any hints about intervention to tackle the strong euro. The currency has strengthened more than 10% since March.
Back here in the U.S., it's all about jobs today. We get the government's latest tally on jobless claims. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Recent data have been encouraging, yet today's report comes with a catch. The government has tweaked the manner in which it tallies jobless claims, methodological changes, they call it. That could make direct comparison with prior data tricky, but the trend has been toward lower unemployment. Unemployment dropped to 8.4% last month after hitting a record 14.7% in April. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Many thank you. Turning to corporate news now, sources tell us ByteDance is likely to miss President Trump's deadline to sell the U.S. operations of TikTok. At the same time, the company is reportedly making a move to avoid a sale entirely. We get more on that from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
ByteDance is talking to the U.S. government about arrangements to avoid a full sale of the video app's U.S. operations. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says discussions have been underway for months but are now taking on more urgency after moves from China to make a sale more difficult. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meantime, there's word of a possible rescue deal for JCPenney. The company's lenders have agreed to team up with Simon Property Group and Brooklyn Property Partners to buy the bankrupt retailer. And here with more on the story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The tentative rescue deal, which would preserve about 70,000 jobs, includes a $300 million equity investment by the landlords. The lender group is already set to take over most of JCPenney's real estate at the outset of the bankruptcy case, with a plan that would have involved spinning the properties into a real estate investment trust and selling the rest of the retailer to the highest bidder. The attempts to reach a sale agreement with outside bidders hit roadblocks as the case dragged on. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And J.P. Morgan employees could potentially find themselves in hot water. Bloomberg News has learned some bank employees improperly received coronavirus relief money. We're told J.P. Morgan discovered the potential wrongdoing after noticing suspicious deposits into accounts owned by employees. That prompted an all-staff message from the bank yesterday outlining potentially illegal acts by some of its staff. J.P. Morgan is declining to comment.
And Citigroup is taking steps to bring New York staff back to the office. The bank is sending surveys to employees to gauge interest in returning to the office next month. Citi is looking to find out what's keeping people away. Right now, about 5% of the bank's workers are in the office. It wants to ramp up attendance to 30% next month. Ahead of the open on Wall Street, futures turning mixed right now. The tech-heavy NASDAQ is higher, up 20 points right now, up 0.2%. S&P 500 is down 1. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news around the world this morning. And to do that for us, once again, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. President Donald Trump defends telling journalist Bob Woodward that he intentionally downplayed the severity of the coronavirus in public, saying he did not want to cause panic or price spikes. A new book by Woodward reveals that Trump told Woodward that he had been warned in January that the virus had the potential to kill millions, yet Trump reassured Americans publicly that the virus was very well under control. Trump spoke yesterday during his press briefing.
You cannot show a sense of panic or you're going to have bigger problems than you ever had before.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden says Trump lied to the American people and failed to do his job.
He had the information. He knew how dangerous it was. And while this deadly disease ripped through our nation, he failed to do his job on purpose.
Biden spoke during a campaign stop in Warren, Michigan yesterday. Deadly wind-blown wildfires have destroyed hundreds of homes in Northern California and Oregon. Oregon's governor says it could be the greatest loss of life and property from wildfires in state history. The North Complex fire northeast of San Francisco exploded to 6 times its previous size thanks to gusting winds. The winds have subsided, but only after flames critically burned several people and damaged or destroyed hundreds, if not thousands, of homes and other buildings. Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York City restaurants can reopen for indoor dining at 1/4 of their usual capacity on September 30th.
Indoor dining, the rules will be temperature checks for anyone who comes in at the door. One member of each party has to leave information, phone number, email.
Other restrictions include no service at the bar and tables must be spaced 6 feet apart. Two Brooklyn public school teachers have tested positive for the coronavirus in District 15. The Department of Education says one teacher works at PS1 in Sunset Park. The other is at MS88 in Park Slope. Manhattan apartments are piling up on the market and it's getting harder to fill them. According to a report today from appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate, rental listings jumped to more than 15,000 at the end of August, more than double the inventory from a year earlier. The borough's vacancy rate reached a new high of 5.1%. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
All right, John, much-needed wins for the Yankees and Mets. The Yankees had lost five in a row. They were in danger of falling under 500, but they beat the Blue Jays in Buffalo 7-2 behind the pitching of 21-year-old Davey Garcia and the hitting of Gleyber Torres, who's been so quiet this year, just his second home run after hitting 38 last season. He also had a two-run double. The Mets came from behind against Baltimore. They were tied up in the eighth inning.
First pitch. And Pete hits it high in the air to right center. It's deep. Mullins going back at the track, at the wall. He climbs the wall. Doesn't matter. It's gone. Home run. Pete Alonso. And the Mets have taken a 7-6 lead.
At the final, WCBS the call. Also, there were a pair of astounding scores. Milwaukee 19, Detroit nothing. They outhit the Tigers 21-2. And Atlanta 29, Miami 9. That's one run shy of matching the Major League record for runs in a game. The MLB postseason plan is for playoff bubbles, American League games in Texas, NL games in California. Much closer for the Islanders after the 8-2 drubbing in Game 1, but Tampa Bay's Nikita Kucherov scored with 9 seconds left in regulation. The Lightning won 2-1. They lead the East Final Series 2-0. NBA playoffs, a classic in the East. Toronto stayed alive. Double overtime over Boston, so they'll play a Game 7 tomorrow. The Clippers won to go up 3-1 on Denver. U.S. Open, third straight match where Serena Williams needed 3 sets, but she's into the semifinals. And tonight, Serena will face a fellow mother, Victoria Azarenka. She only lost 1 game in her match last night. The NFL season kicks off tonight. Houston at Kansas City. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. And for the major averages, the futures right now, the NASDAQ has turned around right now. NASDAQ E-mini futures 22 points higher. That's up 0.2%. The S&P E-mini futures pretty much unchanged right now, down just to 2 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and the stocks are slipping. U.S. stock index futures are mixed now. Investors are waiting for the outcome of the European Central Bank meeting. Treasuries are a little changed, and oil is declining. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 3 points. Dow futures down 21. NASDAQ futures are higher, up about 16 now. DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury, little changed. The yield, 0.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 56 cents at $37.49 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% or $2.10 at $19.57 an ounce. The euro at 1.1835 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3024. And the yen is at 106.11. And we are watching today for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the producer price index. And the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump is acknowledging that he played down the projected impact of the deadly coronavirus early this year and says he meant to avoid creating a panic. It's on tape in an interview from famed journalist Bob Woodward. The president on Twitter is now calling Woodward's book a political hit job. Joe Biden calls the president's actions totally irresponsible and says while this deadly disease ripped through our nation, he failed to do his job on purpose. In the NHL playoffs, the Islanders lost to the Lightning. In baseball, the Yankees won, snapping a 5-game losing streak. The Mets beat the Orioles. The A's beat the Astros 3-2. The Giants won. NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost, and now face a deciding Game 7 in the East semifinals. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:20 on Wall Street, we're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. What do we make of this price action with stocks? Let's bring in our next guest this morning. Matt Maley is the chief market strategist at Miller Tabak. Can you put your finger, Mike, on a narrative for investors this morning?
Well, I mean, obviously, volatility, 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 and it looks like it's going to be with us for a little while now. Yesterday's bounce back in the market was nice. But, you know, the internals weren't all that great. We saw the volume was 20% lower than the previous day when we saw the big decline. The breadth, in other words, the advance versus decline, it was 4-1 positive for the S&P 500. That's pretty good, but on a day that was up that much, it's really not that strong. And for the NASDAQ, it was actually just 2-1 positive. That's, again, not that great. We'll just have to see if the worst is behind us. I would tend not to think so. And one of the reasons is this whole thing with the froth that existed in the marketplace. I think we need more downside to work that off, because we saw another big jump in some of the options call buying yesterday in stocks like Apple Computer.
And that, for you, points to speculative buying?
Exactly. I mean, we had in Apple, for instance, the options, the weekly options that expire on Friday, had it was four different option prices, in other words, strike prices, but they had over 300,000 contracts trade yesterday, and that's a huge amount for I mean, these options expire just 2 days away. They're out of the money to the upside, call options. And they called them, not to get too involved, but the open interest on these options was about 100,000. So it shows that that there was a lot of speculative buying, that the big sell-off that we had for 3 days was really not enough to get some of these individual traders to scare them. And experience tells me that over when you get straight-up moves in the market that take it to an overvalued and overbought position, it's usually not the initial sell-off. It's only after you get kind of a head fake or a failed rally that people start to get some real fear and the market signs to settle back in.
Do you think was there one whale, or was there more than one whale?
It certainly seems to be a lot more than just one whale. I mean, there's all this talk about SoftBank and the buying there, but just seeing from the volume, you know, whether we saw it yesterday or in recent weeks, the volume would show that, in other words, it was all small trades that would show that there might have been some, you know, big players here and there, and SoftBank certainly seems to have been one, but we're just not seeing the kind of big blocks that would show that it was just a couple of whales rather than that big kind of speculative buying that we've seen from the Robinhood trader.
The broader mark for the S&P 500, the multiple appears to be historically high, but is that supported by rates and the outlook for growth?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think it's really supported by the outlook of growth. Of course, low interest rates certainly helps that, but we were really getting the nosebleed levels, you know, the second highest level that we'd really ever seen since, you know, just only exceeded by the year 2000. So, no matter how low interest rates are, you still can get the overvalued levels. Now, overvaluations, as we all know, is a lousy timing tool, but once they do break, they do tend to give you more of a sell-off than we've seen so far. And as for growth, we look at earnings growth for 2021, the consensus is still about $165. That's no better than we saw in 2019 or 2018. So earnings growth is really not there, even though it's going to be a lot higher than this year, which we've always known.
Okay, you're looking for another sell-off for tech or what?
Yes, I am, and because I just think you need to take out some of the froth and talk about overvaluations. These companies, great companies, Microsoft, great company, Apple Computer, great company, but they just got so incredibly overvalued, so incredibly overbought because of their parabolic moves. They need more to work off some of those conditions, but that's healthy and that's okay. I mean, 6% decline in the S&P, almost about 10% in the NASDAQ. I think you need a little bit more to wash out these extreme valuations that we were seeing. But that would be normal and healthy, although it'll be a little bit scary, and it will actually help the market in the longer term.
To be clear, they're throwing off tons of cash. It's not exactly like 1999.
No, it's not. I mean, but the one thing that we worry about is that it's so concentrated in a few number of names. And people say, well, these are not the kind of companies that are just going to go out of business like so many did after 1999. But these ones are still incredibly overbought. Like I said, they can be the best companies in the world, and they could have the greatest long-term prospects. But history shows that Apple Computer has seen big declines over the years many, many different times. And it just kind of shows that sometimes the market gets ahead of itself and needs to see a little bit of a pullback.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Thank you very much. Matt Maley, the Chief Market Strategist at Miller Tabak. Right now, NASDAQ futures, they are unchanged. S&P futures down to 8 points. And the Dow E-mini futures this morning, 73 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are pointing to a lower open after yesterday's gains. The question now is whether we've seen the bottom of this sell-off. Maybe not, says Franklin Templeton portfolio manager Jonathan Curtis.
Certainly markets do this from time to time. You know, we are biding our time looking for better opportunities to add to some of the names we really like.
And volatility has faded a bit, but it does remain elevated. This morning, the VIX is at 29.33. Mike Wilson is chief equity strategist at Morgan Stanley.
There's been some very speculative activity in the options market that's now being wrung out. We think taking out some of that speculative behavior is necessary and in line with our view that that should happen, and then we can have a broadening out.
Tesla, once again, the most active stock in early trading. It is up about 2%.
Coming up today, we get a policy decision from the European Central Bank. We'll also be on the lookout for any hints about intervention to tackle the strong euro. Wouter Sturkenboom is chief investment strategist for Europe at Northern Trust.
I think what they're going to try to do, at least, is just exude a lot of confidence that the ECB is doing what needs to be done, that the exchange rate is something that they're watching but not targeting, and that they are confident that they, if need be, can do more than they are currently doing to address the deflationary threat.
The euro has strengthened more than 10% since March. It is currently trading at 1.1833 against the dollar.
And turning to corporate news now, TikTok is making moves to potentially avoid a sale of its U.S. operations. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says ByteDance is talking to the U.S. government of arrangements to avoid a full sale of TikTok's U.S. operations. Separately, Bloomberg News has learned that ByteDance is likely to miss President Trump's deadline to agree to a deal.
And some J.P. Morgan employees could potentially find themselves in hot water. Bloomberg News has learned some bank employees improperly received coronavirus relief money. We're told J.P. Morgan discovered the potential wrongdoing after noticing suspicious deposits into accounts owned by employees. That prompted an all-staff message from the bank yesterday outlining potentially illegal acts by some of its staff. J.P. Morgan is declining to comment. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 89. NASDAQ futures down 14. We had seen some improvement earlier. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury little change, yield 0.69%, and the yield in the 2-year 0.14%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. President Donald Trump is acknowledging he played down the projected impact of the deadly coronavirus early this year and says he meant to avoid creating a panic. A new book by journalist Bob Woodward reveals that Trump told Woodward he had been warned in January that the virus had the potential to kill millions. The interview between Woodward and Trump was recorded.
Just breathe. read the air. That's how it's passed. And so that's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus.
Yet Trump reassured Americans publicly that the virus was very well under control. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden said President Trump is responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of Americans for failing to adequately warn about the dangers of the coronavirus.
The idea that he knew what was going on, he denied that he was briefed. Remember, he said he wasn't briefed by the intelligence community how bad it was. He didn't read it. He just flat lied. That's wrong. It's totally irresponsible.
Today, more than 190,000 people have died in the U.S. so far, and millions have been infected. A Northern California wildfire is threatening thousands of homes after winds whipped it into a monster that incinerated houses in a small mountain community and killed at least three people. The North Complex fire northeast of San Francisco exploded to six times its previous size between Tuesday and Wednesday because of gusting winds. Meanwhile, dozens of wildfires are causing destruction across Oregon. In Marion County, two people were found dead in a vehicle. Trump administration appointees are said to have suppressed intelligence on Russian election interference and the threat from white supremacists. That's according to a whistleblower complaint filed by the Department of Homeland Security's former intelligence chief. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced a long-awaited decision on indoor dining in New York City.
We can go to 25% of indoor dining with certain restrictions that will be enacted on September 30th.
Cuomo says all tables must be 6 feet apart and restaurants will close at midnight.
Nobody will be sitting at the bar. Masks must be worn at all time, except when you're sitting at the table.
Also, one member of each party has to leave information, a phone number, and an email for contact tracing information. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Zone.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stanshower.
All right, John. Youth was served for the Yankees in Buffalo. They got strong pitching from 21-year-old Davey Garcia. He went seven innings, got his first Major League victory. And Gleyber Torres, still only 23, he finally broke out. A home run, four RBIs. The Yanks beat the Blue Jays 7-2 to end their five-game losing streak and move back over 500. They're battling Baltimore, believe it or not, right now for a playoff spot. The Orioles, who beat the Yanks three straight and then beat the Mets Tuesday, had a 5-1 lead last night. The Mets rallied. Pete Alonso homered in the eighth inning for a comeback 7-6 win. Heartbreak for the Islanders. Looked like Game 2 of the East Final was headed to overtime. Nikita Kucherov scored with 9 seconds left in regulation. Tampa Bay won 2-1 for a 2-0 series lead. Double overtime in the NBA. Toronto stayed alive and will play a Game 7 with Boston tomorrow. The Clippers beat Denver to go up 3-1. A rare occurrence tonight. Games in all four major sports leagues with the NFL season opener, Houston at Kansas City. And also tonight, women's semifinals of the U.S. Open. Serena Williams will play Victoria Azarenka. In each of Serena's last three matches, she has needed three sets.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? So I'm not really, I definitely agree. I feel like, yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Like, I'm some of these matches, you know, you're playing Serena, so it's like, close your eyes and hit as hard as you can, and it doesn't matter. And so I kind of have to adjust to that.
Men's side, straight set, quarterfinal wins for Dominic Thiem and Daniel Medvedev. They'll face off tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Elections not rigged. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Donald Trump's false claims about voter fraud have been debunked long ago. But if there were any lingering doubts, they should now be put to rest. For years, Benjamin Ginsburg has been the go-to Republican election lawyer. So it's a pretty big deal that the recently retired Ginsburg is saying, quote, after decades of looking for illegal voting, there's no proof of widespread fraud. At most, there are isolated incidents. Elections are not rigged, end quote. So we can add the nation's top Republican election lawyer to the broad consensus among academics, election administrators, and other specialists that voter fraud is extremely rare. It's not a serious problem overall, and it's not a serious problem in absentee or mail-in voting. While both parties will and should continue to keep their eyes open, elections in the United States are, in fact, on the level. Why Trump continues with this particular stream of falsehoods isn't clear. In any event, it's corrosive to the Republic and to the Constitution that he's supposed to defend. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Now, Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Coming up on the economic front today, we get the latest tally of weekly jobless claims. That's 8:30 Wall Street time this morning. We also get a reading on inflation. Economists predict the producer price index rose 0.2% in August. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
In July, the producer price index rose 0.6%, the most since October 2018. But Bloomberg Economics says spare capacity will help keep prices in check for now. During the initial pandemic shock, the PPI dropped 0.9%, the most in data back to 2010. Friday, the government reports on consumer prices. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinnie. Some other stories we're following this morning. Citigroup is taking steps to bring New York staff back to the office. The bank is sending surveys to employees to gauge interest in returning to the office next month. Citi's looking to find out what's keeping people away. Right now, about 5% of the bank's workers are in the office. And coming up today, we get earnings from one of the big gainers in the work-from-home era, Peloton. With a preview, here's Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Peloton has been a pandemic winner, with fears of infection closing gyms and fitness centers across the U.S. Bloomberg Intelligence says robust app downloads suggest that Peloton subscriber growth may outpace the outlook for just under 1.1 million connected fitness subscribers. Peloton shares have been higher this week after the company announced a new stationary bike and a treadmill. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And right now, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, NASDAQ E-mini futures, they're down 55 points. Big swings this morning for the NASDAQ futures, down 0.5% right now. You're listening to Bloomberg. The Sports Report brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burton serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurtonLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are slipping. U.S. stock index futures are lower as investors await the outcome of the European Central Bank meeting. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 20 points, Dow futures down 157, NASDAQ futures down 59. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%, 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.69%, yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7% or 66 cents at $37.39 a barrel. COMEX gold is up about 0.1% or $1.60 at $19.56.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1838 against the dollar, British pound 1.3022, and the yen's at 106.09. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump defended telling journalist Bob Woodward that he intentionally downplayed the severity of the coronavirus in public, saying he did not want to cause panic. Joe Biden says Trump knowingly and willingly lied about the threat it posed for months. President Trump's 2020 reelection campaign and the Republican National Committee announced that they jointly raised $210 million in August. While Trump's August fundraising is a record for his campaign, it is less than the $365.4 million Joe Biden and the Democratic National Committee raised last month. In the NHL playoffs, the Islanders lost to the Lightning. In baseball, the Yankees won, snapping a five-game losing streak. The Mets beat the Orioles 7-6. The A's beat the Astros 3-2. The Giants won. NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost, and now face a deciding Game 7 in the East semifinals. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. And it's time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include what Michael just mentioned there, President Trump unable to escape virus fallout as his own words come back to haunt him. And Joe Biden says President Trump tapes on virus show he failed to do his job. Biden also shows a softer tone on policing as the president attacks. And Secretary Pompeo is urging Southeast Asia to cut ties with bully China firms. Well, let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Well, it's the political story of the morning. The words that President Trump recorded words in his interview with Bob Woodward of the Washington Post. What is the fallout so far?
Well, I think it's been rather seismic. This is one of these types of campaign game changers that we often see post-Labor Day. And here we are just a couple days post-Labor Day, and we're already seeing something that, you know, could be significant in terms of the history of this campaign. I think that, you know, obviously we saw Joe Biden jump on these remarks very quickly, accusing the president of knowingly lying to the U.S. public. And, you know, with the result being in Biden's telling, you know, the loss of life and the damage to the economy. So certainly, you know, this is problematic for the president. He did confirm these remarks. It's hard for him to deny them. You know, the Washington Post released a set of tapes, you know, or excerpts of tapes. So there's something about, much like the 2016 Access Hollywood video, there's something about hearing Trump say these things in his own words that makes it resonate a bit more than just reading it in print. And so I think that, you know, this is not necessarily just going to be a one-day story.
And then there was the story in Atlantic, of course, about the president allegedly calling war dead losers. You take this, all of it, and you got to wonder, does it really change anybody's minds? The president's base is still likely to support him.
Well, absolutely. We have to remember, of course, that this is a candidate that boasted in 2016 that he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and his base was so loyal they wouldn't abandon him. And that has proven really largely to be true in the sense that, you know, Trump's base has stayed very steady over the not just through the 2016 campaign, but through his presidency. And so I think that is the fundamental question that you've hit on is, you know, this is, of course, significant in political terms, and it certainly gives additional significant fodder to the Biden campaign. But, you know, at the end of the day, does it really change anybody's mind? Does it really alter any voter's perception of Trump significantly? And I don't know necessarily that it does.
Okay, so what is Joe Biden saying in response to this?
Well, we're hearing Biden talk, you know, quickly, you know, kind of, you know, respond to this and talk in very strong terms about how this, you know, was he characterizes it as Trump having lied, knowingly lied to the American people about the severity of the coronavirus. And he characterizes it again as a failure of Trump to do his job as president. And so that's a line that we've heard from Biden before, and one that I expect we'll hear again, is essentially painting Trump as being an incompetent commander-in-chief, an incompetent leader of the U.S., and trying to convince voters that he doesn't deserve a second term for those reasons.
All right, on to the next story, and this comes under the heading of ad wars. Biden is showing a softer tone on policing, and it contrasts with President Trump. What's this about?
Well, Trump has tried very hard to cast himself as a law and order president, as someone that's going to rein in some of the unrest that we've seen in U.S. cities over the summer and into the fall now. And I think what Biden is trying to do here is paint a contrast and essentially put forward a message of unity and bringing people together and saying, you know, instead of raising the temperature as we've seen Trump do, he's someone that, to use a George W. Bush phrase, is a uniter, not a divider. And so I think that that is an important contrast. I think it's interesting to note that it's different from the dynamic we saw in 2016 when it was Hillary Clinton that was putting forward, you know, big warnings about Trump and about the, you know, future of the country, whereas we saw Trump in that campaign having more of a positive message. And so I think we know that sometimes these positive messages do resonate with voters. So whether this translates into a different outcome this year, of course, remains to be seen. But I think that is basically the strategy of the Biden campaign, is to be the positive message campaign as opposed to Trump, who we're seeing kind of putting forward this message of fear and division.
Kathleen, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can also follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now let's see what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The world is losing its mammals, birds, amphibians, reptiles, and fish. That's according to the 2020 Living Planet Report, a biannual assessment by World Wildlife Fund and the Zoological Society of London. The report shows animal communities shrunk 68% on average between 1970 and 2016. In turn, that's causing the world to lose the security of ecosystems that have supported humanity since it first emerged. Scientists say nearly 1 in 100 coronavirus patients admitted to hospital developed a punctured lung. Researchers believe the formation of cysts in the lung could be one of the reasons. Symptoms of the condition include shortness of breath and sudden sharp chest pains that is worse when taking a deep breath. TikTok is making moves to potentially avoid a sale of its U.S. operations, that according to the Wall Street Journal, which says ByteDance is talking to the U.S. government about arrangements to avoid a full sale of TikTok's U.S. operations. Separately, Bloomberg News has learned that ByteDance is likely to miss President Trump's deadline to agree to a deal. And there's a potential blockbuster deal involving Amazon. Bloomberg News has learned the Indian company Reliance Industries is offering to sell a roughly $20 billion stake in its retail business to Amazon. A deal would create a retail behemoth in India. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
Hi, Karen. A 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Some creative New York City restaurants have embraced outdoor dining during the pandemic. Kokomo in Williamsburg is booked every night. Their outdoor decor transports diners to the Caribbean. And wife and husband owners Rhea and Covell Graham are with us this morning. Rhea, why don't you start? Tell us what it's been like for business during the pandemic.
Once we got word that outdoor dining was a possibility, we then had to scramble to bring that same experience that we built on the inside to outside. So that was the main focus right after we found out about outdoor dining. How can we let people feel that same Kokomo vibe that we spent 8 months building, built in 2 weeks for the outdoor dining?
Now, I've been to restaurants where they have a tent set up in a parking lot somewhere. Yours is a little different because it really achieves what you set out to do, I suspect.
Yes.
We wanted people to definitely feel like they were being transported to different islands, and you know, we want to bring the Caribbean to them and bring it to Williamsburg, especially because people can't travel right now. Everybody wants to be able to feel like they can get away and not just be stuck in their houses.
It was actually the perfect timing for a Caribbean restaurant because everyone wanted to be anywhere but in New York City,
exactly.
But no one could go.
How has the neighborhood responded?
Beautifully.
The only thing that we get complaints about is the fact that they can't get a reservation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rhea and Kevil Graham of Kokomo Caribbean Restaurant in Williamsburg, best of luck. Thanks. We're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive and thrive during the pandemic every day at this time right here on Bloomberg Radio. That's your Bloomberg Small Business Report, Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And it's 6:57 on Wall Street. S&P futures, they're down about 19 points. Dow futures down 136. NASDAQ futures down 46. And the 10-year Treasury up 1/32. The yield point 6.9%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.